Rodney Creed, August 25th, 2018.
We've since put it on different things, see how much pennies and quarters and nickels and dimes we're dropping in the plate. Today we're talking about Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And what we're talking about really is unity and the things that go to build up unity. I thought that this was a good picture to describe unity because it's taking individual strands that are different, and we are all different, and then weaving those strands in amongst each other. But as you notice, it gets kind of crowded, and it gets kind of tight, and it is stronger, but at the same time, maybe somebody is invading your space, and maybe you're invading somebody else's. And when that happens, we tend to sometimes get irritated with each other. And in this society, it's never our fault, right? It's always somebody else's fault. Human nature says that, you know, if I'm irritated, it can't be because of me. It must be because of whomever. And so people irritate us. And in this section in Romans chapter 15, it's about bearing with one another. And they were having some issues. What they were actually having was this problem with eating meat. Meat was sacrificed to the pagan gods, and after it was sacrificed, since it had been cooked, it was sold in the market. And some people couldn't eat that meat, and other people that were Christians could. And the ones that didn't eat it because it had been sacrificed to a pagan god. And they thought that was wrong. And then the other group, they thought, well, there is no pagan god. There's only one god. And so I'm free to eat it. And Paul's saying, you're both right. But you don't want to trample over the people who think it's wrong and their feelings, because they think it's a sin, and to them it is a sin. And if you make them eat this food, now they're sinning, even though it may not be a sin in God's eyes. Because they believe it is, it makes it one. And the ones that believe in this situation, Paul calls the weak. And they're not fully free. They're not fully able to do something. And that's okay. But the others, they can eat the meat because their conscience is clear, and that's okay. But the problem is, when they're weaved together in the church, people start getting, you know, territorial and saying, well, you don't know. And it's like, well, you don't know. And it's just a big argument. So we're not talking about this morning, though, putting up with each other's sins. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our attitude towards our brothers and sisters. In this situation, the weak are judging those who are strong, and the strong are judging those who are weak, and both of their attitudes need to be adjusted. That's what Paul is addressing. One is saying, them, you know, the weak or them, they're irritating me, and this is not a sin. But the other people are saying, well, they have a sinful attitude. And it's basically just to address this problem. So we're going to go ahead and read Romans 15, 1 through 7. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Our first step, and it's in verse 1, is put up. Put up with other people. It says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. I thought this picture was kind of telling. This bird is putting up with this rain, this cold. They're enduring. And we will get to that a little bit later. But the idea is long-suffering. Not exerting your own rights. Understanding that some people may not agree with you. Long-suffering is not something that we are as familiar with today. Because we don't suffer fools easily, do we? You ever been driving down the road and somebody drives very erratically or very silly and you get really upset? That's what I mean. They're acting foolish. And you don't suffer that very well. I don't suffer that very well. We all have irritations and people who irritate us. Odd, difficult people. And when I say odd, I'm not saying necessarily that they're odd to everybody. I'm saying they're odd to you. They're not like you. Isn't that what it usually comes down to? I'm normal, and all the rest of you are weird. If all of you would do the same things I do, then everything would go so much easier. And I say that because we all kind of think that way. I think that's human nature. If you are questioning whether you're in that area, do you have more joy in pleasing yourself or by pleasing others? Because the normal or human way is to please ourselves, isn't it? And I think we're more like God when we go out to serve and please others. So in this section, he says, bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Stop serving ourselves and start serving others. Are you willing to give up your rights? And I don't mean your rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those inalienable rights that are in the Constitution, I mean, how about your right to individual space? Ever had somebody invade your personal space? Ever been on a subway? There's no such thing as personal space. But some people don't get it. Some people don't see everything as you see it. Other cultures don't see things like we see it. In Korea, you're not supposed to cross your legs like men cross their legs because it shows the bottom of your foot to the person that is in the room. That's incredibly rude. And if you didn't know that, you would inadvertently offend everybody that you came into contact with every single time you did it. Now, you would be, in that situation, the weak person. And they would be the strong person, and they're having to put up with you because you're the silly foreigner that doesn't know the way things should be. Another thing in Korea, the color of mourning is white. And I don't mean the early morning, I mean whenever you're sad. In America, it's black. So if you wore a black outfit to a funeral, you would be offensive. In America, if they wore white, they might be offensive. You see, there's a lot of things that we don't necessarily understand. And what God is saying is you need to bear with one another and put up with some of these things. And as I said, though, it is not putting up with sin ever. Ephesians 4 tells us four ways to put up with people. What it talks about is humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with them in love. That makes it a lot better. Having humility. And it counters what? Your normal, everyday, how people react, which is full of pride. Pride is about rights. Pride is about my space. Pride is about what I want. Humility is bearing with those in love as opposed to indifference or hatred, anger. Gentleness is the opposite of harshness. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm irritated, I very rarely show gentleness. I'm more apt to be harsh, and it all comes back to patience and impatience, doesn't it? Being able to bear with or to put up with others. The second thing is in verse 2. It says, each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. So the first one we talked about putting up, now we need to build up. Putting up means that when somebody does something that irritates me, I don't say anything about it. But that's different than building up. Building up now says, now you need to do something active instead of passive. The first one you set back. The first one you say, I'm not going to react. The second one is, I'm going to react, but I'm going to react as God would. Now we've moved into a whole new territory. A lot of us can probably put up with people, but actually then doing something for their good, building them up. It's a construction metaphor. And the thing is that if you're not building up, what are you doing? Either nothing or you're tearing down, right? If you're tearing down, then you're doing the opposite of what God wants. God is not about the destruction of his church. God is not about the destruction of Christians. He is about the development of Christians into the image of his son, so much so that he gave each one of us his Holy Spirit so we have a helper. And all of us Christians have that. And just as God is working on you, he's working on others. Or perhaps I should say it the other way. God is working on others, but he's also working on you. You tend to think of yourself as having arrived, and you're pretty good, and you don't necessarily need to change that much. There's a couple of minor things that you could probably work on. Right? But those people that irritate you, they got a lot to work on. They got a mountain of things to work on. The thing that we don't necessarily recognize is we got a lot of stuff to work on too. We need to recognize that we also might be irritating to others. Are you, if you were irritating, are you building up or are you tearing down? See, this is not just one person's responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the strong to always put up with the weak without the weak always putting up with the strong. It's everybody who is a Christian putting up with everybody who is a Christian. And the main reason is because God is working with all of us. And we need to recognize that we can be irritating. Now, personally, I've looked at myself and I don't find myself to be irritating. However, my wife says I am, but she doesn't understand. She's not me. Anytime you get two people together, there's going to be something that irritates you. I would challenge you to think of any relationship you've ever had that you weren't irritated at some point. You wished, I wish they didn't do that, or I wish they had done this. If you're a parent, that's your kids, right? If you're married, that's your spouse, right? If you have a mother and father, and I would say all of us do, same thing. Ever been irritated at those that have been around you? Of course you have. But because you love them and they love you, you bear with one another. That's what Paul is talking about here. And one of those things is recognizing that I have some things to work on. And that if I don't, I'm not building up. I'm not making the church a better place. The third thing that Paul talks about is looking up. In verse 3, he says, "For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." We can put up and we can build up only if we're looking up. You might be able to put up with some people. You might be willing to put up with some people, but I'm talking about putting up with the world. Not their sin, but with people that are different than you. I think that takes the strength that comes from God. For me to put up with people means to act like a Christian out in the world. That guy that we were talking about, or girl that cuts you off in traffic. The people that take advantage of us. We all want to retaliate. We all want to be the person that goes out and gets vengeance. We want to be the one that asserts our rights. And I'm not saying that it's always wrong to assert your rights. What I'm saying is, if you do so, do it as God would do it. And if you're not looking up, basically you're going to be pleasing yourself. And that's the opposite of what Paul says Jesus does here. Jesus did not please himself. He did nothing. And it says insults here. And what it means is our sin. Jesus Christ died for our sin. His body was insulted because of our sin. His body was killed because of our sin. And it's not fair. Even him giving his own life, it's still not fair. If you were to be punished because of your sin and the things that you've done, would you let someone else take your punishment? It would be hard to stand there and watch somebody else being punished for what you did. And if you could do that, then maybe you've got even bigger problems. Our irritation with others, and when we are irritated with others, it's most likely because we're not looking up like we should be. We get impatient. We fail to build others up. And usually the reason is because we find people, we judge them, and we decide that they are less than we are. And they're not worth our time. And they're not worth our effort. Every single one of us is not worth the death of Jesus Christ. I would also put forth that our value is nothing because of our sin. Our value, though, comes from Jesus Christ, because he paid the largest price for us. He says, "You are worthy because he made you worthy." When you choose to judge someone else, really what you're doing is judging yourself. Pride gets in there, and we need that humility that we talked about before. But whenever you are together and harmonious, we use that word a lot, you work together, you're more effective. It's like a piano, it needs to be tuned, otherwise it won't sound good. Every note is different. Every note is distinct. But if they're all tuned, when you play them together, it comes out beautiful. But it's all because it has been tuned to one thing. And I think the same thing happens when we are tuned to Jesus Christ. When we do that, we've got to grow up. We talked about putting up and building up and looking up, but all of that then comes around to growing up, becoming more mature. Now, not everybody's a baby, but if we're ever going to bear with each other, we've got to grow up. We've got to take responsibility for our spiritual maturity. Where are you at in your spiritual maturity? If you're like most people, you probably have never even asked that question. You probably just assume that where you're at is where you're supposed to be. Have you ever said, I need to pray more? Have you ever said, I need to read my Bible more? Now where are you? Compare yourself not to each other, but compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Now where are you in your spirituality? You got some things to work on? I mean, it's pretty sobering. We've all got things to work on. But we tend to think that where we are, because we judge against others. And how many of you, when you choose someone to compare yourself to, goes and finds the best person in the world to compare yourself to? Or if you're like me, you look around for somebody who's not as good. Do you compare yourself to the Mother Teresas of the world, or do you compare yourself to Hitler? I like Hitler because it makes me look good, right? I don't like him personally. I was saying I like to compare myself to him because then I look really good. And Jesus says, compare yourself to me. And I don't want to do that because then I don't look so good. Then I have to say, it doesn't matter how good I am because I'm not good enough. And the thing is none of us are good enough. We all need Christ. He died for every single one of us. It says in verse 4, let me try and find it. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We need to spend time in God's word so that we know what God's word says. But it says, so that through endurance, you know what that means? That means putting it into practice. That's the hard part of Christianity, isn't it? Enduring those that are in the world, and sometimes it means enduring those that are in the church. And you say, but it shouldn't be that way. But it always will be, because the church is full of human people. And humans are not perfect, except Jesus Christ, which is why we follow him, which is why his sacrifice was willing or worthy and could take care of everyone's sins. But it doesn't just say enduring, it says encouraging. The scriptures are encouraging. Why? Because you can find some messed up people in the Bible, and they're called God's people. If there is hope for them, there is hope for us. You're not perfect, and you don't have to be, because Jesus was. But you have to maintain that relationship with him. And part of that is in dealing with others, within the church and without the church, inside and out, loving them. The thing is that you can't endure and you can't be encouraged by the scriptures unless you're spending time in it. It's been said that if all the Christians dusted off their Bibles, it would equal the greatest dust storm of all time. And unfortunately, I think sometimes I resemble that remark. I can't read the Bible for you. You can't read the Bible for somebody else. It all comes down to, if you need some encouragement, you should be in the Word. But you know what? You've also got to put it into practice, which means you're going to have to endure. He then goes on in verse 5 to talk about teaming up. May God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. We are all different, but the one thing that we have in common is Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the reason we are here today. He is the reason that we live. He is the reason that we do the things that we do. A spirit of unity. As we went back to that rope that was being woven at the beginning, we need each other. When Paul talks about in Corinthians, the body, and the church is the body, and he says, can the eye say to the hand, I don't need you? And the verse or reverse is true. Can the hand say to the eye, I don't need you? Now think about the church. Is there somebody in the church that you could do without? Well, the church is the body, so are you the eye and you're talking about the hand? The toenail? The foot? If the hand can't say or the eye can't say to each other, I don't need you, we can't say that in the church. We need each other. There are no lone rangers. And if you think about it, the Lone Ranger had somebody who rode with him named Tonto. So it's kind of a misnomer, isn't it? God intends for us to mutually support each other. And since God bears with us and our failings and forgives us, how are we to act? We are to bear with others, and we should put up with, build up, look up, grow up, team up. Let's start giving people the benefit of the doubt. Because many times we act on very little information. We don't know the whole story. We don't know what has gone on in people's lives beforehand. The last thing that he talks about in verse 6 is speaking up. And you think, speaking up, I mean speaking about God, glorifying him, so that with the heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we bear with one another, we glorify God. Because other people say, why do you put up with that? Why are you so loving when that person's not loving to you? Because I'm not very loving. I was God's enemy. And because of my sin, he had to die on the cross. And he didn't just die for my sins. He died for everybody's sins, including those that I'm irritated with. We can't speak up with one heart and mouth unless we're unified. If we're judgmental, when others bug us, our worship is short-circuited and our service is weakened because pride has entered into our heart. Verse 7 then wraps it all up. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Jesus Christ wants us to be like him. God wants us to be like his son. He wants us to think of others, to love others, to bear with others, to accept them because he accepted us. It's important for unity that we accept one another. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't correct sin. It doesn't mean that you ignore people either. It doesn't mean that you avoid. It means that you do what Christ did. We're all messed up. If you feel guilty this morning, it wasn't to make you feel guilty. It's to make you align yourself with Jesus Christ. If you don't put up with people, well, join the club. All of us, at some point, don't put up with people. Some of us get irritated all the time with people. But with God's strength, we can ask for forgiveness. We can bear with one another, and others can bear with us. The goal is not for us to win the race. The goal is for us to get everybody in the race across the finish line. As a unit, as a group, as a world, if we can accomplish it. Because God loves everybody to that level. This morning, I hope you've realigned yourself with God. If you were unaligned, I think there's something in there for all of us. I don't think we spend enough time with God. We don't look up enough. We get caught up in the world, and we're looking horizontally rather than vertically. But that's what Sundays are for, is to realign you, to bring you back, to remind you that there is a God in heaven and he loves you and he died for you and he loves you so much that he wants all of those people in the world to become his followers. And each one of us are adored by him because we're his children. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to be. God wants to open up his home to everyone. And that includes you, no matter what's gone on in your life. For the rest of us, you're already in the family. If you need to repent of something, that's fine. If it's something else, though, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.